We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hi, friends. I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Ginger Lyons, a serial entrepreneur who believes that a positive attitude, abundance mindset, and perseverance are the keys to a great business model. A military veteran, Ginger is the woman behind the jewelry design company called Buffalo Girl Salvage. Since 2012, her company has been inspiring women and honoring law enforcement officials through creative designs. She loves to coach female entrepreneurs and surround herself with positive role models. On today's episode, we talked about how our definition of success changes over the course of our business. At one point, Ginger had a brick and mortar location with employees, a successful wholesale program selling her handmade jewelry through trade shows and showroom reps. She was a finalist for Shark Tank, and she had a bustling e-commerce site. And then she realized the success she was striving for was not making her happy, so she made some very intentional changes. I hope you enjoy Ginger's story of growth, strategic pivoting, and the lessons she learned along the way. Hey, Ginger, welcome to the show.
Hey, Katie. I'm so excited to be here. What an honor. Thank you.
Oh, I'm excited to have you for a number of reasons, mostly because I admire your story of simplifying your business, which we're going to share here today. And the other thing is, too, I love highlighting makers that are doing other types of products than, you know, my core audience is stationery and gift and things like that. And so the fact that you do jewelry, I'm excited to dive a little bit into your process there as well. So right. To kick this off, did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, that's such a funny question, because whether I knew it or not, it was in me. I think, you know, yep. some of us were just born with it, and we discover later in life that's what it is, but there's this feeling. And so for me, it started in third grade. I had a company called Ginger's Worms, and they're illegal now, but I used to stick the metal shockers in the ground and get worms.
Oh, wow.
And then I was driven by my mom to the local sporting goods stores. I had business cards that said Ginger's Worms, and I sold my worms. She took me to the styrofoam, you know, container distributor, and I had a legit thing going. And
that is so funny to me, because it's so far-fetched from my first jobs as a babysitter or making friendship bracelets. You were selling and digging up worms. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. And then, you know, I experienced early on having to switch gears and all those kind of things that now, you know, now I'm like, oh gosh, mm-hmm. I learned the same lessons then. Like, I ran out of worms, and then my mom had to take me to the park
to find new worms.
Oh,
that is hilarious.
So you can apply that to every business, right? You got to find the product. And yeah,
who knew sourcing worms would be an issue?
Who knew? That would be the start. Yeah. And then as an 18-year-old, I joined the military. I am a military veteran and very proud to be. And quickly discovered that really I'm not good at having other people tell me what to do. But I have a passion for finding ways to make our economy stronger. And that is where my love for mm-hmm. wholesale came in. But as just an entrepreneur in general, I love the idea that we can all contribute to, you know, yeah. I know it sounds cliche, but the American dream. I love that we can all make an impact. And so that's where my love fell in, where I became a Main Street manager for the state of Texas, for a city. And I worked directly with the First Lady of Texas, and discovered how important Main Street is in America, and we need to keep them alive, and we need small businesses.
Wow.
And so that's really my foundation.
Yeah.
And when I started just experimenting.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that background. So talking about your current business now, Buffalo Girl Salvage, what types of products do you make, and who are your core customers?
So we hand make our jewelry designs. We've done some experimenting with manufacturing just for different types of products. And because I just like mm-hmm. to learn the different aspects of things, but we have a retail Shopify site, and then we also wholesale. And so I treat that as two completely different companies because it's a different customer and a different audience and different marketing styles. But they're all jewelry, and the salvage comes in because we like to use components that are salvaged copper materials, things like that. And then we also do salvaged bullet casings from police officers across the country.
Oh, interesting.
And I have people on my team that cut the bullet casings, and then we turn those into jewelry.
Okay, so that was where I was heading next. Since you don't outsource your manufacturing, do you have a team of people that work for you to help to create this jewelry? Because it's a laborious process.
It is. It is. And if I can give any advice, start as fast as you can asking for help and getting help in the things that you know you can afford to get. So even in the smallest details, it's important to have others alongside you and not be the everything girl. Yeah. And I wish I would have learned that 7 years ago. But as entrepreneurs, we're doers. We want to do all the things, and it's hard to give up control.
Oh, yeah.
But there are certain facets that we can.
It's hard to give up the control. And I think, too, at the early stages, we worry about paying somebody else. You know, we worry about delegating and having the management skills to manage another person, too. So what were some of your fears around bringing people on?
Well, I have had employees previously, and I discovered very early on, as many do, I'm just really not good at managing lots of people. And so now I have a contract labor set up with lots of team members across the country. And that works very well for me because they are people that are experts at their position. And I don't have to give that day-to-day, you know, feedback. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They're off and running.
And okay, so how did you bring on a network of labor that's across the country while still managing quality control? Like, did you give them the systems and the materials they need and everything they need to build the product to your...
Well, I still can't give up control. So that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. It's terrible. It's just a character trait I can't get around. So what happens is the different components are made or cut or... Mm-hmm. Put together by different people. It's all sent back to me. And I am the last hands that touch every single piece that go out.
So you make the finished product then?
I make the finished product.
But you have people all over that help to make all the components.
Absolutely. And all in America. We're made in USA.
Awesome. Which is tough to do.
That is very tough to do.
You have not only a handmade business of like actually handcrafted products, but then also US based, which is, those are both a big deal. Do you weave those into your story, your brand story?
Yeah. And that's something, that's a personal choice. That's something to me that is extremely important. Yeah. And if I'm going to have the core values of, I believe in, you know, the Main Street, and I believe in us bringing up boutiques and helping our fellow entrepreneurs develop their businesses, we have to do as much as we can in the US so that we can build up that together.
Right. Well, it's walking the walk when you talk it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's a really important part of our process. And yeah, our brand message is that through and through.
Yeah. So in your onboarding questionnaire for the podcast here, you joked that you've done everything in business backwards. What did you mean by that?
Oh my gosh. You know, if I can give any advice right now to your audience, it's... Listen to yourself, listen to your gut, and find mentors right now. And Katie, you are such a valuable asset. You know, for your listeners that are here right now, you already are the partner that they need if they want to talk wholesale. And I didn't have that. And I could have done things so differently if I had have had the resources, the knowledge of, oh, here's how to do this. When you have to go out on your own and figure it all out, it doesn't go well. You make a lot of mistakes.
You make a lot of mistakes and it takes you longer.
Yes.
I was doing that before I started boot camp, and I thought, this is for the birds. Like, let's get everybody together and share, because
So wrong.
We can do so much more when we work together.
Yeah.
So.
And the day I fell in love with you, I know the day. You told the story of your trade show gone wrong.
Yep.
And I said, oh my gosh, this is my girl. We are kindred spirits. So I have a similar story.
Tell us.
So I did this backwards because I don't know how to do trade shows and I'm learning on my own. And I did know one thing, and I know one thing very well, is always, always, always pay that $30 if you need to bring your product on the airplane with you.
Yep.
Because you may show up in Vegas at the pavilions and everybody's got their crate and everybody's got their boxes and you're sitting there alone in a square.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. And so...
Did it ever show up?
Well, it did show up 3 days later.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was great. Brandy, who, bless her heart, gosh, you know, I looked at her. She was there to do the show with me. And I said, okay, we can't cry. That's not an option. Yeah. So what are we going to do? So we Ubered to Joann Fabrics and we built our booth.
Good for you.
And we made it happen. And what is so funny is, you know, I have such a different principle now. At the time, I thought this is such a bad, bad thing happening. But one of the very first wholesale buyers that came through the booth, she not only was a wholesale buyer, but she also was a writer for Montana Monthly magazine.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't know this. And she's like, your booth looks a little sparse. And we said, well, here's the story, but we're making it happen. And we got resourceful. We made it come together. And here we are. And so... she wrote that story in Montana Monthly magazine.
Oh my gosh. And it was that's incredible.
So cool because we took a bad situation. She saw the value in it. And then she saw how we were persevering.
Yeah. I feel like that's just the life of an entrepreneur, right? Like we're faced with adversity in different ways. We're faced with challenges. We're faced with tons of decision making that has to happen. And yeah. We got to choose.
Keep going.
Yeah, you got to choose to keep going. So
ironically, 3 days later, when our stuff shows up, things were going so well because people really valued our story of here's what happened, but we're doing this anyway. And we don't look amazing like all the booths around us. But gosh, the jewelry's great, right?
It's all about the product. It's all about the product in those scenarios, for sure.
Are so good that when the stuff arrived, we're like, should we put it out? Maybe we should stick with what's working.
Oh, that's funny. So I want to go back to you falling into business backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you had a brick and mortar shop to start.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you expanded into e-commerce and wholesale and all these different business models. I guess I want to know, like, those are all very different business models. They require a different set of, you mentioned this earlier, you know, a different set of, you're talking to a different client, yep, different customer, your marketing is different. And that's a lot of work handling all three.
Like, that is such a great way to sum that up.
Did you hit a breaking point?
Yeah.
How did these things start to kind of pile upon each other? And then how did you scale it back?
So I can tell you, and I know right now there are people in your audience are sitting right now at their kitchen table and they're saying, okay, the dream is, what I see is if I'm successful, I have a brick and mortar, I have employees, I'm in permanent showrooms, I'm a known name throughout the country or the world, I'm in so many stores, whatever that number is to you. But my question to you is, what part of that is going to make you happy? What part of that is going to make you fulfilled? Because that's the question to ask yourself right here, yes, right now. And I didn't ask myself that question. And now when I can say 7 years later, I did it all backwards, it's because I was working on the premise that those things would bring me happiness and fulfillment and I would be a success.
Yeah.
So I got the brick and mortar. I had the employees. I had the permanent showroom. I was in the Getz showroom and they treated me so well and they were phenomenal. And I had with them, oh gosh, I think like 18 sales reps.
Wow.
And I had another sales rep company in Portland, Lovely Little Things. They were amazing. And so I had these reps everywhere and I'm living the dream, right? And I also in that time had a very weird series of things happen where I actually was in the process of Shark Tank and had gone through all the different processes.
Yeah.
And was in that next place of waiting to find out if I was on the show. So here I show up in Dallas at the permanent showroom and my display is amazing and everything is perfect. And everything just kind of collided. And I can tell you so honestly, Katie, I was not fulfilled. And you know what the truth was? I started all this because I wanted to have a flexible schedule with my kids.
Yeah.
And I started as an entrepreneur because I wanted to be a great mom and to be there for my kids' activities. And the more I grew at these things I thought were successful, I wasn't fulfilling what my original why was.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I think, I didn't know it, but I think in that moment, I stepped outside in Dallas at the World Trade Center and I cried. And I cried my eyes out. And what really was happening is I was saying, oh, Ginger, you lost your why.
Well, it was a release, I'm sure, because you're looking around at, I thought this was what I wanted. I've been working my tail off to get
this
here.
This was success.
This is, in some ways, did you feel like you were influenced by other people's definition of success in those early days?
Completely. Completely. So it is real easy for us to look at others and see the path of another and say, oh, gosh. She's got such a successful business. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe we all born with what our path is in life. And our job is to figure out what that is. And so if you spend too much time looking at the path of everyone else around you, you are never going to find the success that you were supposed to find for yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's exactly what I was doing. And so I said, this is not it. And I need to start over. So here I am, you know, pretty close to the top of my game. It's happening.
Right.
And I'm like, it's going to all come crashing down.
What did you cut first? What was the first thing that you removed?
Well, so, you know, what's really cool is at the exact same time, right, when things are supposed to happen, at the exact same time, the building I was renting sold. And I had the opportunity to end my contract. For the brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Well, that's ironic. And so I talked to my employees and I found out one of them, she just really didn't want to be working as much as she was working. She just wanted to make me happy.
Oh.
And then I found out another one, you know, and so it, what really ended up happening is everybody was there fulfilling my dreams. And I'm like, oh, girls, we got to get it together. We need to go figure out what we're supposed to be doing and living our best lives, really.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that I could not wait to get away from my kitchen table. And all I wanted to do was go back to my kitchen table.
Well, I will say too, that's somewhat, this is a common story, not necessarily your specific story of having the brick and mortar and everything, but I talk to so many people who, you know, their definition of success when they start is completely different once they've been in it for a while. And it's all about that circular emotion of going back to, wait, who am I? What am I trying to do here? What am I trying to accomplish? What is my why? Mm-hmm. So now that you've been in this business for 7 years, you've had some really great successes. You're still continuing to have success. Yeah. You've grown a bit. You've shrunk it down a bit. You know, you're really trying to find where your perfect medium is, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. How do you define success now for you?
So success today is that we built a studio at my house. I have an incredible team of people who believe in my success and they are experts at what they do and they run with those parts. They make my company flow. I take my kids to school every day. I pick my kids up from school every day. I am able to be there for all mm-hmm. the things that they need. And that's I'm great. So fulfilled.
I can see it in your face. You're super happy. I know our audience can't see it, but I can tell that you're very happy.
Oh my gosh. I'm just so fulfilled awesome. Now. And to think back to that girl that was sitting there crying and for her to not know, right? Like, this is going to be okay. Because I'm not going to lie, it was terrifying.
Of course it was. You spent all this time and money and effort and energy building.
Well, and so here's the things I know I didn't know then. So Getz called me. I now know that permanent showrooms don't normally call makers and ask them to be in showrooms. I now know that it's more common for the makers to pitch.
It's true.
I now know that once you're in a showroom, you really don't leave unless you're going to another showroom. You don't just say, I'm done. And so I did it all wrong. And they still are so kind to me and they get it. And when I was honest and I said, I need to figure out how this is supposed to work for me. You know, they said,
well, the showrooms in particular are a very big investment. I mean,
an investment
in time and money and all of it. So, you know, I think there has been a shift in people in our community, the independent makers, moving away from the showrooms. It's funny. We have people that are running towards them and we have people that are like bowing out after doing it for a while.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it just depends on what your goals are as a company and as an entrepreneur. So for you, it wasn't the right fit. For some of our other listeners, it may be a right fit. But
absolutely.
You know, it just depends on where you're trying to head. Now, you...
What your story should be.
Exactly. Now, you glazed over the fact that you were, like, one of the finalists for Shark Tank. So, of course, I need to, like, round us back to that. Like, what was that like? How did, you know, how did that all come to be? And why did you ultimately decide not to move forward with it?
Well, what is pretty funny about this story is, so I applied. And because it was one of the... So, I have a trait about myself that's really odd, too. And then I purposefully put things every single year on my bucket list that are hard.
Okay.
And my philosophy is this. Two things. One, get your no out of the way right away. If people are going to say no to you, they are going to say no to you. So go ahead and just find ways that you can have people say no to you so that you're not bothered by it anymore.
That's good advice.
It just becomes like, okay, I'm out of the way. Right. So the very first person I ever pitched to carry my jewelry in their store told me it was terrible and it wouldn't sell and said no.
Oh my gosh, that's so harsh.
And yeah, it was harsh. And yeah, I cried. And yeah, I called my husband and was like, I'm terrible. I can't do this. And now I think we have 355 stores now.
That's
across
great.
The country.
Congrats.
So you know what?
So that one buyer can just
right. So if you're being told no, fine, move on. Seriously, just get over the no's. And the second thing is, put yourself in positions to do hard things that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because if you are scared to go to a trade show and talk to customers, find other ways to make that a comfort level. Join Toastmasters. Join something to learn public speaking.
Yep.
Get into a community where it's going to make you uncomfortable so that you're comfortable when it matters, when your company's on the line, when the money is on the line. So for me, I put Shark Tank on my bucket list, as many do. And I said, okay, I'm going to apply. So as part of my bucket list situation is that I usually just apply for things and never really expect anything to happen. And just say, oh, yay, I was really brave.
Good read.
And so fast forward several months, somebody tells me that my voicemail box is full on my phone. And so I'm like, dang it. Yeah, I go through. I listen to voicemails. Voicemail. Sixth one in. Hi, this is, you know, so-and-so from Shark Tank.
Oh, my gosh. Did you just die and think, why didn't I check my voicemail sooner?
Yeah, I immediately posted on Facebook, who's the girl who doesn't check her voicemails? And Shark Tank called me. Yeah, and they had called a month ago. A month.
Oh, gosh.
So that's me. And so I call back. I leave this really sheepish message like, hi, I'm really sorry. And I thought, okay, I'll turn this around. I am so busy and so successful. I couldn't even listen to your message.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was so bad.
So did you actually go in and meet with them then?
So I got a call back within like 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, no, we still love you. It's okay. And I'm like, oh my gosh, great. So I had to prepare the video. I had to answer. Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I think it was like 17 pages of questions or something. Wow. I mean, it's really thorough, really, really thorough. And my attorney at the exact same time was reviewing for a second company here in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was really cool.
That is cool.
And so that company ended up getting on Shark Tank. And it was really, really fun because I didn't know at the time who it was. And now they have had this successful experience. And so now I love that I could celebrate them.
Oh, yeah. What was your primary goal for wanting to do that show? Like what did you want to use the funding for?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I'm so real. I am so real, Katie. I don't know. Because I thought that was success, right?
Yeah. The visibility component or the money will help us with manufacturing or whatever it is.
We'll grow bigger, faster.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about the fact that I hand make it all.
That was my first inkling when I heard you say Shark Tank. I'm like, how in the world would she handle that volume?
Sure they would have eventually asked me that question. How are you going to fulfill these? Oh, I'm not quite sure. And I would have answered, I'll figure it out because that's how I answer everything. But I know now that would not have been a good idea.
Yeah.
That would have been a really bad plan. And now I have several friends who have been on Shark Tank. And I've talked to several businesses who've gone through the process. And I've heard all the stories. Some are fantastic.
Right.
Some are not.
Me too.
Some are, you know, some are not great. And I love that I get to sit back and say, proud of myself for saying that was not going to be a right path for me.
Right. I will say too, recognizing that that's not the direction I want to head is huge. What's next for Buffalo Girls Salvage? Like, what are you working on now? What's coming up in the next year?
So my pivot in coming home is that I discovered FAIR. And FAIR for me has been an unbelievable experience because if you're not familiar, or I know you are, if your listeners aren't familiar, it's a wholesale platform where buyers go to the platform and then they can purchase my brand. And it is the thing that has now made the difference in my life and to my company because I've been on there now for almost a year. And it's given me that flexibility that I was looking for. I literally wake up in the morning, get my coffee, open my laptop and see the orders.
Nice.
And I'm like, yay.
So one of the challenges people have had with FAIR is that if they have independent sales reps or they're working with rep groups and then also doing FAIR, there's a bit of a conflict of interest
that
there.
That can totally. And that's how I was when I started. So I had all my reps still when I started there. Mm-hmm. And it is a real big challenge. You can set up zip code protection.
Right.
But it's a real challenge because I would get orders that were in the territories that I already had for my reps. And that is where having a really great communication set up with your reps is necessary. You need to have them on board with what's happening.
Absolutely.
And so my reps, I just involved them in the process and here's the stores. And it was really a hard balance for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quickly figured out with the success I was having on FAIR that it was really going to be better for me to just go all online in my wholesale platforms and just allow the wholesale platforms to, get the customers for me.
Yeah.
And that was hard because I love my reps. I, like most businesses, we try to do everything we can for each other.
Of course.
And they were part of my family and they still are. And I just was really honest and said, here's where I am and here's what I need to do to just be able to meet the expectations of my family and myself and still maintain, there is no balance. We know there's no balance. Maintain a happy. And they completely understood. They know. And they still support me so much, which really I think is so cool.
Yeah.
But for me, it doesn't work for everybody. It worked for me.
No, of course. Everyone's different. Everyone's businesses are different and what works for everybody is different. I mean, reps are great. They provide a different type of service, right?
Yeah,
The relationship factor of that can't be replaced online. But at the same time, you have the reach online through FAIR.
Yeah.
So
I don't have the individual relationship. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So that's where you're putting your time and effort.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at right now in that world. And I also had this side thing happening where I realized that in all the things I learned, I had a lot of women reaching out to me, asking me, how did you do this? I heard about this. I heard about all these things you're doing. Can you help me? And I realized that on the side, I was coaching a lot of makers.
Yep.
And I thought, this is really kind of fun. I love it. So I've been moving into the coaching and speaking world. And last week I had a super incredible experience of speaking at a conference with 300 female entrepreneurs.
Nice.
And that was so incredibly cool.
Oh,
and
congrats.
I realized, gosh, I really love doing this. So I think what's next for me on a personal level is I'm going to move into more of that coaching and speaking arena so that I can help. I really, really want to serve other entrepreneurs now and help them not make the 1,000 mistakes I made. If I can do anything to speed up the process, I will do it for someone else.
You're speaking my language, lady.
Oh my gosh, like, please let me serve you. Please let me help that not be your story, you know? So I'm really excited about that. And that all happened by accident. And it really happened when we experienced the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, I became the breadwinner in my home.
Oh.
And it was, for my husband, very, very hard and humbling. And for me, it was very, very exciting because I was like, oh my gosh, I did all these things. And at this moment in life, my company is, you know, keeping my family just on the path of we didn't skip a beat.
Nice.
And that was the day when I saw the need for more women to learn entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And more women to follow their dreams and their passions and to go after that income for themselves to make themselves feel worthy and a part of their home. So the government shutdown really played this crazy important role in my house of me discovering that and seeing where I could bring value to others.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I'll continue to service the wholesale customers that we have. We also have a retail site. We have a retail Shopify site, and I love to hear the stories and, you know, really get in touch with my retail customers too.
Awesome. Well, speaking of, where can people find you online if they want to check out your jewelry or hear where you're speaking?
Yeah. So I on Facebook and Buffalo Girls at Buffalo Girls Facebook, Instagram, it is Buffalo Girls Jewelry. And website is also buffalogirlsjewelry.com.
Excellent. Well, we will be sure to include those links in the show notes for anyone that's listening.
Thank
you. And Ginger, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Katie. And I want to tell you how proud I am of you. And just thank you for serving so many men and women who need this. They need you to be the influence in their life of helping them to figure out how to do this thing.
Oh, thank you so much. That made my day.
You're making a big, big difference. And it's great that I get to watch it. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, friends. Every time we host Paper Camp, I am blown away by the talent, the thoughtful questions, the camaraderie, and the determination of our campers. When they head home, these people are ready to build out their product line. They're ready to refine their pricing, create a new catalog, and pitch wholesale buyers. They're no longer wondering how much product they need, how they should approach these buyers, and whether they're ready for wholesale or even a trade show. They know exactly where they are going next and how to take strategic, confident action. If you want to see your products lining the shelves of your favorite retail shops, join us for Paper Camp September 19th and 20th in Los Angeles. We have a brand new venue that I'm super excited for you to see, and seats are limited. Our last 16 conferences sold out quickly, so for more details, head over to prooftoproduct.com/papercamp for more details and to register.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.